And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock from the El Pacifico on the West Coast and 1 a.m. back east. And the weather, people are complaining about the cold weather here in California. It's not that cold. It's 43 degrees last night. You know,
well, it was, excuse me, but it was 37 degrees this morning at 5 a.m. I looked at the thermometer that we have on our veranda, so...
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad, huh? I come from Pennsylvania, so I haven't been in the cold weather for very long, Phil. But 37 degrees, my God.
You're asking the wrong guy here. I've lived in some pretty cold climes.
Yeah, I think we're bellyaching about nothing, man. Folks, Californians always do that. When it rains, we bitch and moan. We can't drive in the rain. We don't know how to drive in the rain. And yeah, there's only thing, the only thing that is even worse than any of this is that if you point this out to fellow Californians, they just look at you with glazed, dead eyes, you know?
The doll's eyes.
Yeah, you know the look?
Oh, yes, yes. The dead doll's eyes are typical of a lot of the people in California. When you say to them, do you realize that it's much worse elsewhere in the world? And they stare back at you with that smile. In other words, they're going, you see teeth, but you see dead black eyes.
Yeah, I know what they mean about that. What are you talking about, doll's eyes? I don't understand this.
There's a kind of a glazed, dead look that psychopaths have, for instance. Have you ever seen the eyes of that guy, what's his name, that Anthony Sowell guy, and like Gary who's the guy that was the Green River Killer?
Gary Ridgway.
Gary Ridgway, yeah. They got those dead eyes.
Well, you're telling me that the average Californian has got the dead eyeballs of a sociopath when it comes to weather?
When it comes to talking to them about, hey... You know, this weather's cold, but it's colder elsewhere. They'll just kind of go, oh, yeah, and you're looking into the eyes of a soulless person. And I'm probably guilty of it myself because it just doesn't register, you know.
And the thing that really makes me laugh almost is that most of the people you're talking to at one time or another came from another part of the country. So they lived in the cold weather.
Like yourself.
Like myself, exactly. And it's the weirdest thing.
What was the temperature last night?
37. And people were, it was 43 when I, you said it was 37?
It was 37 at 5 a.m.
Yeah, that's cool, but I'm in bed.
Yeah, no kidding. What's everybody going, taking a walk and stuff?
It's just, you know, it's just people noticing the cold weather. All right, we're going to have on this hour, we're going to have Amalio Fandango back on.
Well, that guy was on last night, I thought.
Yeah, he's going to be on again because I heard him talking about something that I don't think the Dooleys really pressed home.
This is the, the peeking in the bedroom windows.
Yeah, see, I don't understand. What is your issue with that?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
This guy is, he works security.
No, I understand that, and he's looking in bedroom windows because he's trying to secure the property, correct?
Well, you don't look at a bedroom window, General.
Oh, you don't, I see. I guess you people haven't done much in the way of defending the perimeter.
Defending the perimeter? You know, we're not talking about an attack by an enemy force here, you know.
No, I'm talking about an attack in force, a reconnaissance in force, and being attacked in force.
We're not talking about an army maneuver here. We're talking about a...
Look at Phil, just... Please understand, I know a little more about this than you.
All right, that's fine. Let me get on here, Amalio Fandango from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. He's going to talk with us here. Amalio, how are you tonight?
I'm very good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for this is a rare honor to be on this program two nights in a row.
Well, last night, Bobby had you on the show, and I'm not trying to say any, I'm not trying to indicate or claim anything about your company or the way that you do business. You've operated security there at Western Estates for a number of years. I just wanted to ask you about something that I heard. I heard you say that you part of your patrol duties is looking in bedroom windows.
Well, it's not like I said to Ms. Dooley. I didn't say to her, when you hire Fandango Security... I'm going to be looking in a bedroom window, and to get my kicks or something. I don't have a camera, you know. That's not what I'm doing. I look in the bedroom window to, yes, I want to see what's in there, but it's not as if I am doing it purely for my pleasure. I want to make sure that the people are safe.
Yeah, see, you said purely for the pleasure.
And who am I speaking with?
My name's Bud Dickman.
The what?
It's Bud Dickman. So you said purely for pleasure?
Yeah, purely for... It's not purely for pleasure.
It's not purely for... But part of it is for pleasure.
No, that's the wrong way to see it. I'm walking down the side of a house at the Western Estates Homeowners Association for what I was hired to be the security people for. Okay?
Right.
All right. I'm going down the side of the house.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, sir. This is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
You said you're going down the side of a house, so are you maneuvering between houses out of the eye shot, out of the view of the homeowners?
Well, we hop the back fence.
You hop the back fence?
Yes, we're going to come over the back fence, and then we go between bushes. Perhaps Ms. Dooley did not explain to you what I do.
Well, she said you do security for the Western States Homeowners Association. This hiding behind bushes, I've got a problem with.
Whoa, hold on. Hold the phone, okay? Hold the phone. I'm going down between... I'm crouching below the bush line. And excuse me for saying that, because you get a lot of people, especially since the people question the way we do what we do. And I say, well, I crouch below the bush line. And they say, well, all right, so what's that about? Well, you find it funny. A lot of people don't.
I understand what he's saying. I don't appreciate your humor, sir.
Ms. Gray, believe me when I tell you, I'm not trying to be funny. I will say to them, I'll crouch below the bush line, and they give me the wink and the nudge.
Oh, no, I know what he means by bush line.
I do, too, and I don't need any more illustration of it.
I understand.
Okay, good. So then I have to say to them, I say, no, I'm not that bush.
You know what, Amalio, Mr. Fandango, I don't want to know anything about your sexual proclivity.
I'm not trying to say this to you, ma'am.
I want to know about the way your company does business.
All right, let's just stick with that.
I'm sticking with that. You asked me about how I do what I do.
Well, I'm sorry if I put you on the defensive. I didn't mean to do that, sir. You're jumping a back fence. You're crouching below the bush line. You brought up the whole bush line thing. You said some people give you the wink and the nudge, right?
Well, they do. If you want me to hide the information, I'm trying to, in the interest of full disclosure, to try to tell you what the ticket...
Well, slow down. You need to slow down, sir.
Yes, I'm going to slow down. I'm trying to give you in the interest of a full disclosure... last night I thought I explained this.
You did, sir. It brought up questions from our audience, and we're trying to answer some of them tonight.
Is Ms. Dooley is Ms. Dooley anywhere?
No, Ms. Dooley is not on the line right now. It's just us.
So this is almost like a gang blank, isn't it?
See, this is what I don't appreciate about you. Everything with you has this double entendre.
Well, I don't want to be set upon by a bunch of guys in a pool hall. And my name is Mary. And
that's not what's happening. I'm asking you, and I'm going to ask you again. Are you looking in bedroom windows?
Yes, I don't think I have made a secret of that.
Why?
Because I want to make sure the interior of the home is safe. If the lights are out, guess what? I can't see nothing. Okay? If the window closed, I can't see anything.
All right, now, what was this last night? You said you came upon a closed window, but you saw the curtain was slightly open, and you stood there for about a half an hour trying to get, quote-unquote, a better view.
I'm trying to see what's going on in the house. If they see the curtain open, then that man came and grabbed me by my right shoulder and spun me around, and then he saw the Fandango security emblem. When people see Fandango security, they back way off. Okay? Because Fandango, as we like to say, when we have the billboard campaign, we did a radio campaign, Fandango means security. Look us up in the Yellow Pages or something like that. I forget what the ad says, but...
Fandango means security. All right.
Yes.
Okay, hold the line here, Amalio, as we get to the bottom of the whole walking down behind the house. you know.
Well, he said, the man did say he crouched below the bush line.
Yes, and then he said, oh, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, what's that mean? Does it mean he's like, what?
Never mind. It doesn't mean anything. It's him trying to be, I think it was him trying to be a smartass, to be honest with you. I think it was him trying to, you know, hey, bush line. Merry Christmas.
Well, that's nice. That's...
Some jingle bells for you there. Look us up online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And you might as well do your Christmas shopping over at philhenryshow.com for the Phil Henry fan in your family. Get a gift subscription. Get some CDs. Go over and get a hoodie, a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie or T-shirt. Get our ball cap. Get our station, our show T-shirt. Get the Bobby Dooley keychain. But whatever you do, get it. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, the big news, before we get back here to our very close personal friend, Mr. Fandango, the big news, we have, we are now working and pushing forward, and I mean very, very aggressively, so all my listeners and my subscribers to know this, and I want my subscribers to know this, because as subscribers, you can access our video cast, and we're very happy that you do. But I know a lot of you want to just listen to an audio stream. And you want to be able to listen to the audio stream right off of the website, or you want to be able to access the audio stream live as the show is happening. And there are a variety of ways of doing that, but the best possible way is the way that we are going to be going, and that is a Phil Henry live radio show app. This is in the works. And you know that when I tell you that we're going to do something, we do it. It may take 16,000 years.
Well, that was the one of the people said, Phil said there was going to be streaming video about 8 years ago, and he finally got it. And they even very sarcastically went, hey.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. That's funny.
Yeah, that's real funny. Well, the fact is, we are going to have an app. We're working on it. I've said to the guys, full speed ahead on this. I want all due pressure. I don't care if you don't sleep. I don't care if you don't eat. I don't care if your marriages fall apart. I don't care if your kids don't eat. I want that app.
You didn't say that.
Of course I didn't say it, but that's what I wanted to say.
Well, you wanted to say that.
Yes, I did. I wanted to say, I want you working on this, even if it means your home life goes to hell in a handcart. Now, I'm kidding. No, I don't mean that. But I do. We are in every way, shape, and form pushing forward with a live show app so that you will be able to access our show live from your smartphone. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. It's long overdue. But we were very consciously holding off on any kind of an app for our website and our show until we had our site fairly well in hand. And now that we do, and there's just a few minor things we have to do over there, Now we are going to go and get this app. What, bud?
Doesn't that mean, though, the radio stations and everything?
We have a great affiliate list. We've got great stations. We have great affiliates. We've got great people that support us on all levels. This is just one more level. This one more platform, you see? It's all about platforms, you know?
Well, when you say platform, it reminds me of the old days of train stations where they'd say, well, go over to platform A and... do you remember the song, Leaving on Runway Number 9? You remember that song?
No, General, I know that song. Last train to London, leaving on runway number 9.
No, it was not last train to London.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not, because they don't leave on runways. Oh!
Got him there!
Yeah, give me 5.
Yay!
Get out of here, will you? Last plane to London.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it was last plane to London. I don't like the childish way you celebrate because you think you made a point. You didn't make a point.
Well, yes, I did. You said last train to London, leaving on a runway? What drugs are you on?
I misspoke about the mode of transportation.
All right, never mind. So, yes, the platform. That's new media speak for, is it a radio? Is it a smartphone? Is it a this? Is it that? Something else. So, when we get moving along with that, I'm going to let you know. I've never been as excited about anything that we've done digitally than I am about having the Phil Henry live radio app that is going to enable you to listen to this show live wherever you are. You can be in Hong Kong. You can be in Canada. You can be in Antarctica. You can be in all those places.
Yeah, with like even in Denmark and stuff.
Even in Denmark. wherever you are and whatever you're doing, whoever you are, whatever you are, you could be animal life, vegetable life, you can listen to The Phil Henry Show. All right, getting back now to Mr. Emilio Fandango. Sorry, sir, we were just doing a couple of announcements.
No, it's all right, Phil, but, you know, I was listening to you, and I had the same feeling one of your prior guests said, which is you sort of leave people hanging while you go off and get your kicks.
No, sir. I'm doing a promotional announcement.
No, I understand, but you see, you've accused me of some things that are very serious, so you're off getting your cookies while I'm waiting here to try to defend my good name. You're telling me that I'm looking in a bedroom window to try and get a cookie, you know?
I don't think anyone has said that. What we're saying is, how does this work? Why do you need to do that?
I'm telling you that as a security for the Western States Homeowners Association, I had told Miss Dooley when I got this job, and by the way, I'm not Mexican, I'm Italian. Where do you get that?
I thought the name Fandango.
It's a Mexican name, but I am part Italian. My mother is Italian.
Oh, okay. I never said you were Mexican.
I did. I said, coming up, I did a promo for the network.
What'd you say?
I said, coming up later on, Phil Henry is a Mexican.
Why would you say that?
What is that, bud?
Well,
yeah, you see what I mean? You've got guys working on your staff. I think you ought to reevaluate some of these people. To me, they're nuts.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
You know, bud, you know, you got a black girlfriend, and that's great, and that's your only qualification. That's your only claim to being a egalitarian, fair-minded guy. Some of the most racist crap I hear comes out of your yap.
You know, I've got to agree with him, bud. And my offer still stands that when you get out of line, I'll punch you in the face, I'll punch you in the mouth, and loosen some teeth, and that will remind you.
No, I don't want to do that. That'll hurt.
Well, you know what? You may not have a choice if you keep that stuff up.
Look, Phil, don't get on the kid. You know, he's got a plate in his head. God knows what's wrong with him. All I'm trying to say is I'm not a Mexican. I'm part Mexican. I'm Italian.
Okay. Can we talk now?
Yeah, let's talk now about how the Mexican... See, I think that's why he did that, because I'm peering in bedroom windows. Let me tell you something, ladies. If you've got a problem with Emilio Fandango, the guy that's looking in your bedroom window trying to get a peek is an Italian. Okay?
Well, why did you emphasize that? It seems to me that you're trying to make this worse.
No, ma'am, I'm not trying to make anything worse. What I'm hearing here, though, is that you people are trying to make it worse.
No, I'm just trying to get the lay of the land on you peeking in a bed. Last night, here's what I heard. You walk down the side of the house, you walk past the bedroom window, and you don't look in. Your body is not square to the window. Your body is at an angle, at a right angle. So it appears as if you're walking past the window and you're not looking in. But you are glancing with your eyes, correct?
Yes, that is correct, because I have to look in the bedroom to see what's there, you know. But I'm walking past, so if a woman were to glance up, as was what happened... 2 weeks ago, which is what we were talking about, this lady was in there and she's doing some grooming.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about what the woman was doing anymore, if you don't mind.
All right, I'm sorry, but that's what she was doing because I saw it. And what got me in trouble is I slowed down, but I didn't look at her. I was glancing with my eyes to the side.
Now, one of the guys that works at the security shack, a guy by the name of Raymond Garzon, said you came back to the shack, you rummaged around in a cabinet, got a camera, and then took off back toward the same direction.
That's an absolute lie. I got the camera because I wanted to fool around. I had some new lens, some lens cleaning, you know what I mean?
Listen to him stumbling around trying to find a good excuse for getting the camera. You got that camera and you made a beeline back to that woman's house.
No, I did not. No, I did not. When I got back to that house, and I went back to that house, because that's where I left off on my patrol and I was going to pick back up again. The window was closed and so it didn't matter.
The window was closed, huh? So you went back to see if you could look in there?
No, you can see if a window's open or closed from about 50 feet away. Wow. Give me a break, will you? If I'm going to go back to look in a window. Look, man, I've told you what I've told you, okay?
What did you go and get the camera for?
Because I got some lens cleaning, those little pieces of paper that you clean the lens with. I was going to do that.
While you're out doing your patrol?
Yeah.
Hang on the line here. I don't know. He'll probably hang up.
Yeah, you gonna hang on? You gonna hang on?
Don't do it while I'm on the air, bud, if you don't mind. We're talking with Emilio Fandango here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and the discussion ranging into a lot of different areas. Do you, when you are working security for a gated community, when you're trying to do security for the various homes, do you walk by the houses and stare in the bedroom windows? That is exactly what it is we're talking about right here, and that's what he's been accused of doing. At least that's what his company, Fandango Security, it means secure. Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. What I was talking with Nikki about, long-distance relationships.
Oh, I love that. That is a great topic, long-distance. Can we do that?
Excuse me, but I'm still talking to the guy.
Well, Phil, I don't know if he's still on the... Is he still on the phone? Sounds to me like he chickened out.
Yeah, I gotta find out. It sounded to me like the guy chickened out on you and everything like that.
What do you mean, chickened out on me?
Sounds to me, when you started pressing him on the issue of whether or not He's looking in the windows and getting a little peeky-boo. He was that him?
Yeah, this is me. I'm not chicken out or anything. I'm staying on the line. That's what you told me to do, right, Dickman?
Yeah, I didn't know you're going to do it.
Well, you might try to ask me. I'm still here. What am I to chicken out for? I'm not to chicken out.
All right, well, so you didn't chicken out.
No, I didn't chicken out. Why? I have nothing to hide, Mr. Henry. I have nothing to hide. You know?
All right, I'm going to bring on another guy that's involved in security, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Do you know him?
I know the name, yeah. I'm familiar with Mr. Santos. Yes, I am.
You are?
Oh, yes, of course. A lot of people are familiar with Mr. Santos.
Okay, then you know the work that he does is...
If you want to call when Mr. Santos does work, yes, I'm familiar. This is a guy who puts on a pit helmet. Okay, go ahead, man.
Well, all right, Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, going to join us here on our newsmaker line from the South Bay here this evening, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about security, working security for private company, for private residences, private communities. Jay, you don't do that kind of thing. You are more of a, as I say, a neighborhood police organization.
That is exactly what we do, Phil, and what we do is far more... I would say far more dangerous than, excuse me for saying this, sir, and I'm not trying to rile you up, but what we do, I think, is a little bit more dangerous than taking a look in a bedroom window and see a woman shaving.
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Santos, you're the kind of guy who's not going to listen to a thing that anyone is going to say. You're going to say, you know, whatever you want to say.
No, I'm not saying what I want to say. I heard Mr. Henry's interviewing you. And you talk about looking at a bedroom window.
I did not look in a bedroom window. First of all, number one, you have to know what you're talking about, man. You don't know a damn thing about what you talk about.
I don't know what I'm talking about? Why do you say that?
Because what I do is I do home security, I do residential security, I do a very, very, what you would call a very personal and up-close and personal kind of security.
Well, you know, sir, well, you tee it up, I'm going to have to get that one out. And
what's that?
I said, you teed it up, I got to hit that one out. And here it goes. You do personal security? Yeah, look in a bedroom window.
Oh, that's what you call hitting it out, huh? Okay.
All right, guys, let's not do I can top you. But, you know, I will say this for on behalf of Mr. Fandango. What he's saying is, essentially, he does a different kind of security than you do, Jay. And quite frankly, you and I have had this discussion many times. What you do is considered by the police to be probably not all that on the up and up.
Well, not considered on the up and up by the police. The police are very, very grateful for the neighborhood policing that we do. We've done flare drop. We've done go ahead and spread.
Let me ask you, what is go ahead and spread, man, if you don't mind me asking you?
That's when we were out there when the banks were failing, and they did have some crowd control conditions, and they did look like they were going to have a crowd control situation. And we had to go in there and get people spread. Do I like doing it? No. Do I want to see someone spread out? No.
I still don't know what you mean by to spread out. What does that mean?
What
he's talking about spread, he means putting their hands on the wall.
No, I'd like for him to say, if you don't mind.
Oh, like that's a big test. Okay. To spread is what Phil... Have you ever seen what a... Maybe you don't even know what cops do. When every time a cop arrests someone, he goes, okay, put it on the wall and spread it.
You mean the cop says to put your hands on the wall and spread your feet apart when he is frisking you? Is that what you're talking about?
He's not frisking me, friend. You know...
No, but when he is frisking someone...
Yeah. He'll say spread it.
Oh, okay. And is that how you...
Look, rather than give each other tests, I want to get to the bottom of the question of the hour, and that is the following thing. Jay, your organization, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, ran afoul of some homeowners when you guys were walking around with what you called a helmet cam. You had on top of your pith helmet a camera that you had masking tape to it or something, and you're walking around, and you were looking in bedroom windows, weren't you?
Phil, first of all, that's pretty crude for you to compare what I was doing to this guy looking in a window and licking his upper lip. Totally different.
Wait, hold on, man. There's no licking upper lip.
No, Phil said I get to talk, don't I, Phil?
Hold on. You can't characterize what the guy does by licking his upper lip.
Well, look, we had a helmet cam as a way of educating homeowners to the possibility that they got a peeker. You know, peeping Tom. What you call a peeping Tom, a peep Tom, or a peeker. And what we did was go throughout the neighborhood in a very limited area, very, very limited area, and we would walk up to the window with a helmet cam on, and we'd stand there with the helmet cam on. If you have a camera on top of a helmet, you got to nod your head around and move your head to get the picture. You're not necessarily staring at it, but the camera is. That was misunderstanding number one right there.
What do you mean, man? I mean, if you're standing and looking at a bedroom window and...
No, I wasn't looking. The camera was looking.
Okay, but it's on top of your helmet, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you've got to aim the camera, don't you?
Yes, I do have to aim it.
Well, how do you know what to aim at unless you're looking?
Good point.
All right, okay. I'll mark that one up on the wall for you. You won, me nothing. Good for you.
But what's the answer, man? I'm not looking to score points. I want to know what the answer is. Aren't you looking?
I'm looking. If I see a woman with her legs spread, I'm not looking to see what she's doing. But if her legs are spread and I'm pretty sure she's nude, then and there's a can of Gillette Foamy.
You know, I'm telling you.
Phil, you know, this is how you get your job.
I'm sorry.
That was uncalled. You're the one that encouraged that.
I have to agree, Phil. That was uncalled for.
I'm sorry.
Damn, Henry.
Don't start jumping on me. Are you kidding me? How can you not laugh at that?
I think both of these men should be arrested.
I agree.
I think they should both be arrested. I think their organizations should be criminally investigated. I think that anyone that works for them should be investigated criminally. But I think both of them should be arrested. I'm sure that they sound like a couple of sick, twisted perverts. And I have no doubt in my mind that they have photographic evidence. They probably have film footage. They probably have photographs of God knows what. And you sitting there and laughing, Phil, only encourages it.
Wait. How does that encourage it? Those guys take themselves seriously. And they think what they're doing is real serious-ass security. And yeah, man, when he said that the woman's there, I'm sorry, folks, with her legs spread and there's a can of Gillette Foamy.
Yeah, it's kind of bad, Mr. Henry.
Oh, get it. You're the first guy that's going to laugh at something like that is you.
Yes, but he didn't laugh, Phil. He left you twisting in the breeze.
That's right.
All right, well, I apologize then, okay?
Thank you. That's all I was looking for.
You know.
Well, don't pout like a little boy.
I just find you people to be very, that's a double standard. I'm going to say this. Santos is full of it, and so is this guy Fandango. And if this woman, Bobby Dooley, had, excuse me for saying this, Bobby, but if you had any brains at all, you'd know what this guy is doing, okay? You don't look in bedroom windows to help secure the residence. As far as this clown, Jay Santos, is concerned, if I see a can of Gillette Foamy, so...
Well, I was about to find out what he was going to say, and you went, ha, 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 and then you had Bud hang up on him.
I hung up on him, you told me to.
I know, but what I'm saying is, Are you kidding? What more do you have to listen to, man? The guy is telling me that he's not looking, but he sort of is. And, yeah, she's got her legs spread, but I don't look to see if she's nude. There's a can of Gillette Foamy, so I draw the conclusion. What is this guy's world all about? I mean, it's you know.
Well, then we agree.
Yes, we agree. Yes, we agree. I don't know why you're jumping.
That's all I had a can of the whole Gillette Foamy thing.
Yeah, that was where we... That's where, you know, you left us in the dust. That's where you went ahead on into Pervert City, and we stayed on the outer, on the other side of the city limits and just had sandwiches and waited.
Okay.
Well, it's a good way of putting it.
What do you mean, okay?
I went on into Pervert City and left you guys behind to eat sandwiches.
Yeah. You're going to go on into Pervert City and have your way with the women folk. We stayed back and had a sandwich.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's very colorfully put. Although you're wrong.
I'm wrong, why?
Because I didn't go into Pervert City to have my way with the local women. I went on into Pervert City to investigate more.
Well, what do you need to know, Phil, when the city limits sign says Pervert City?
You know, you guys, there's only, like, another planet maybe they understand what you're saying. I sure as hell don't. All right, coming back, just a couple of news notes that I think are fascinating. One of them is on Obamacare, and I know I don't want to do a lot of Obamacare talk, but this is about...
Oh, boy. You really have to, huh?
Yeah, it's about Boehner, and we'll talk with you about that. And then, why did Canada ban pot? We'll talk with Jeff Dowder. Jeff, as you know, is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. He's also a long-time proponent on the decriminalization and legalization of medical marijuana and is now leading an effort here in the state of California to legalize marijuana. We're going to talk with him about, well, this is a very interesting history. Why do you suppose Canada banned marijuana? It has, quote, nothing to do, I'm quoting the headline, nothing to do with science.
Well, they must have banned it because of the Mexicans bringing it in.
Well, that is racist.
Well, that's partly true. That's partly true. What the general just said is partly true. But that's not the whole story, as Paul Harvey would say. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, I bet you didn't know, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't marijuana criminalized in the United States in the 30s?
I think you're right, Phil. I've never smoked marijuana, so I don't pay much attention to those things.
That thing was on account of they had Reefer Madness.
Yes, Reefer Madness was a film to show how marijuana would cause you to be sexually violent, to...
Yeah, but I'm talking about if you smoke marijuana, you'd want to have sex with, with an ugly woman, right?
Yeah.
No, they didn't say that, man. They didn't say that.
They didn't?
That's offensive.
They didn't say if you smoke marijuana, you're going to have sex with an ugly woman. That's that wasn't it, man. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what they did.
What? No, what are you talking about? Would you guys get your heads out of your asses? They talked about, yes, it was hysterical. Anti-marijuana legislation here in the United States was hysterical. It was also based upon the fear that this was a drug being brought over the border by Mexicans who were considered to be of a sort of low moral or low morality. Now, if you think all of that sounds almost prehistoric, wait till you get a load of Canada. Canada, I got a hold of this article and it really blew me away. Canada's decriminalization of marijuana, which took place in 1908, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double check here. Anti-drug laws in Canada. In 1908, the labor minister tabled a bill prohibiting the manufacture, sale, or import of opium except for medicinal purposes. That was Canada's first drug law. Penalties were light. Even in 1911, when morphine and cocaine were rolled into the act, maximum jail times stood at 1 year. That soon changed when a new social crisis brought the drug question back. In 1920, a drug panic coincided with even fiercer anti-Asian agitation. There were two hysterias intertwined. The history of drug use in Canada is inextricably tied to Canada's history of racism.
Well, that, I think, who is saying that?
This is a historian at a Canadian university, a woman by the name of Catherine Carstairs. Hysteria was highest on the West Coast. Newspapers churned out stories that obsessively chronicled the drug-induced downfall of previously upstanding white Canadians. Now,
I think that's a slander. Canada, as everyone knows, is far more progressive than America.
Oh, does everyone know that, Margaret?
Don't mock me.
Well, then don't sound so silly.
Yeah, what do you think, Canada? They don't like black people or something?
Black people are treated far better in Canada than they are here.
Wait, hold the phone, will you? Hold the phone, okay?
Well, Phil, you're going to have... Because I agree with Margaret, Canada is far more socially progressive. Everyone knows that.
No, not everyone knows that. Not everyone knows that. You see, if people knew anything about history, if they knew anything about how societies develop, if they knew anything about anything, then they wouldn't just go off half-cocked and talk about stuff that they don't know anything about, man. Canada, in the early 20th century, was gripped by an anti-Asian hysteria every bit, if not more virulent, than the one they had here in the United States. The anti-Chinese laws and anti-Chinese hysteria, which was very, very evident in Vancouver. In 1907, a rally of an organization called a xenophobic organization.
What's that mean?
They're afraid xenophobia means they're afraid of
xenophobic means anti-foreign, anti-foreigner.
Are you sure?
Well, it's not anti-xeno.
Well,
in any event, xenophobic, the Asiatic Exclusion League. That was what they called their anti-Chinese league up there in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's like a tombstone when a guy had the anti-Chinese sign.
Yeah, exactly. You saw those signs all the time. And also in the movie Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven, it looks like some kind of a campaign poster on a wall somewhere that says anti-Chinese league. Until 1908 in Canada, it was possible to buy opium, cocaine, and morphine from a pharmacy. Prairie farmers once planted hemp as a windbreaker for crops. But in the early 1900s, the temperance movement was gaining momentum alongside growing hostility toward Asian immigrants. In 1907 in Vancouver, a rally of the xenophobic Asiatic Exclusion League boiled over into a riot. The mob, more than 10,000 white men, stormed the city's Chinese and Japanese enclaves, throwing some immigrants in the harbor and damaging every Asian business they could find. One local newspaper reported not a Chinese window was missed.
Yeah, and you'll notice it was white men.
Well, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say all the white women were as clean as a baby's ass? Because, oh, hold on, General, you can't, don't...
Would you watch your language, please? I know you were in the army, but...
I forgive me, but that's what she's trying to say.
I think I don't think you're saying that, Margaret, are you?
Well, I'm saying it was white men.
I think the white men were speaking on behalf of a lot of a racial attitude among white people. When business owners asked the government for compensation, these are the Chinese business owners, asked the Canadian government for compensation, William Lyon Mackenzie King, then deputy labor minister, was sent to investigate. King was shocked to discover the claimants included legal opium manufacturers. Some Chinese groups asked for help discouraging use of the drug. King returned to Ottawa and wrote a report on opium, including a warning it was catching on with white women and girls. And as you well know, there isn't anything in the development of either our country or China or Canada or any Western country, there isn't anything that would send those white men reeling like the threat to their women.
What, you thought like a Chinaman was going to get him or something?
Don't say Chinaman, okay?
Well, that's essentially... They were afraid, Bud, you shouldn't say that, but they were afraid that the Chinese man would turn all these white women out and turn them into slobbering, just slobbering opium addicts in a skirt and 3-inch heels.
Well, whatever. I don't know if they had 3-inch heels, but yeah.
What do you mean you don't know if they had 3-inch heels?
I don't know what kind of... Whatever.
Well, Phil...
Okay, they had 3-inch heels.
They were afraid that the Chinese would turn the white woman into a slobbering, drooling opium addict.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the white woman meaning not only the wives and mothers, but the daughters. So in 1908, the labor minister tabled a bill prohibiting the manufacture, sale, or import of opium except for medicinal purposes. Canada's first drug law was passed. Now, in the 20s came another fiercer anti-Asian agitation. Two hysterias were intertwined, the history of drug use in Canada and the history of racism. History was highest on the West Coast. Newspapers churned out stories that obsessively chronicled the drug-induced downfall of previously upstanding white Canadians and provided sinister depictions of Chinese drug dealers. In the Vancouver Sun... What, bud?
Well, they made them all look like what? Like Charlie Chan or something?
Yeah, they probably did make them all look like these Charlie Chan...
Well, it wasn't Charlie Chan. It was Fung Ku, right?
I don't know. Who was the big evil guy?
Bill, it was like Fung Chang.
Who's Fung Chang? Are you guys just making these names up? I remember the guy from Buck Rogers.
Who?
Buck Rogers.
That was outer space, Phil. We're talking about the planet Earth. Oh, wow.
Phil, there were no Chinese in outer space, not even in...
No, I know that, but there was that big guy with the thing, the mustache. In any event, you talk about the fear of the Chinese and the fear of the, quote, Asian horde. Take a look at those early Buck Rogers comics. The evil master lord of the universe was a Chinese guy.
What? There are no Chinese.
The cat was, he looked like he was Chinese. I ain't saying he came from China. He came from another planet. But he looked Chinese, is all I'm trying to say, man. All right, Phil Henry's show will be back here. We'll continue with this fine, wonderful, marvelous intellectual discussion. God. Master Cheng Fung. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Yeah.